Sir Ken Robinson is an internationally recognized leader and advisor in the development of creativity, innovation, and human resources in education and business. His 2006 TED Talk about schools killing creativity is the most viewed in TED's history. In 2011, he was listed as one of the world's elite thinkers on creativity and innovation by Fast Company magazine. In his best-selling book, The Element, Robinson inspired people to find out what really made them tick and to get the most out of their life and work, creating an intensely devoted following. Now he looks to teach people how to put the core ideas into practice. His new book is Finding Your Element, How to Discover Your Talents and Passions and Transform Your Life. We welcome Sir Ken Robinson to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Good morning.
Good morning. So what brought you down this particular path of taking the element one step further?
Well, when the first book came out, Joe, as you say, it was very well received, and we had lots of wonderful feedback on it. But naturally, people started to ask me, well, if they haven't found their element, how exactly did they go about doing that? And I really felt I owed them an answer. The first book wasn't meant to offer that practical guide. It was meant to explain what I meant by the element and why it matters so much in people's lives. So the new book is that. It's an answer to the questions I've been asked over the past couple of years, like, how do I find my element? What if I don't have any talents? What if I don't have any passions? Is it too late? What do I do with my children? All the questions that have been put to me, I wanted to bring them together and to answer them as best I could.
So for those unfamiliar, your definition and what you're trying to say about the element is what? What is the element?
Well, the quick background to it is I know all sorts of people. I'm sure you do too. And people listening to this will know too. People who don't really enjoy what they do, they don't enjoy their work very much. They just kind of get through the week and wait for the weekend and perhaps don't enjoy the rest of their lives that much either. And yet, I also meet people, and always have done, who absolutely love what they do. They can't wait to get to it. They get up in the morning and they're keen and excited to get on with it. And if you were to say to them, why don't you change track and do something else for a while, they wouldn't know what you meant. They'd say, but this isn't what I do. This is who I am. And they could be anything. They could be teachers. They could be working in industry. They could be homemakers, they could be working with children, I mean, you name it, there could be anything. If you can think of something that can be done by people, somebody will love it and somebody won't. So to be in your element is two things. Firstly, it's doing things that you're naturally good at, that you have a flair for, a kind of feel for it. But it's more than that, because plenty of people do things they're good at, but they don't really enjoy it. They just happen to be good at it. To be in your element, you have to love it. And if you love something you're good at, then, as they say, you never work again. I mean, people often say, I can't believe I get paid for this. I would do this anyway. So it's that meeting point of talent and passion. And the whole argument is that we all have that potential. Some people have discovered it, and others have not. And it's not that it's not a possibility for them. It's just they haven't yet found their way to that.
And can that happen regardless of what the current culture or environment is?
Well, yes, I think so. I mean, obviously, circumstances play a huge part in this. It's why, Joe, it's why there are so many examples in the book. I'm very keen to make it clear that this is not a theory. You know, I'm not making this up. This is based on very long experience of meeting people in all walks of life, of talking to them, of the response I get. You know, when I did book signings for The Element, I always ask people, what do you do? And it could be anything. I was talking to a lady the other day at a book signing, and she is an insurance agent. She works in the health insurance business. She helps people file claims. And I can imagine some people saying, well, that sounds like a job I couldn't do for very long. But I said, do you enjoy it? She said, you know, I absolutely love it. And I said, why do you love it? She said, because I know I'm helping people. I know that I'm getting them justice for what they're entitled to. And she said, I love fighting on people's behalf. And he said, I absolutely love it. I feel I'm doing something really important. I find it very fulfilling. I've talked to people, you know, these days, I wear a brace on my leg since I had polio as a young child. And these days, I've been persuaded, because I travel a lot, to get into wheelchairs in airports. I resist this for a long time, but I do now. But I meet all kinds of people who are pushing wheelchairs through airports. And it's amazing how many of them, not all of them, but how many of them, I ask them how long they've been doing it, and they'll say, a chap who pushed me the other day had been doing this for 20 years. I said, do you enjoy this? He said, I love it. He said, I love helping people. He said, I meet so many fascinating people. I love all these people who I meet every day at the airport. I love knowing I'm helping people get through the day. And I always look upon the person I'm helping as if they're a member of my family. So I like to think if this were my mother or my brother or my son, that they would be getting this kind of help and support. So, you know, it isn't a single occupation that delivers this. It's finding things that resonate with who you really are. And that's really what I'm trying to do in the book. I'm trying to get people to understand more about themselves, about what drives them, what their energies are, and what lifts their spirits.
And a slight twist on this, which you address in the book, which is finding that thing that you really love, but that you're not very good at.
Yes. Well, that can happen too, in just the same way that some people don't like things they're good at. There are some people who love things they may not feel that they are very good at. But I'd make two points about this. One of them is that sometimes people say they're not very good at things, and they may be better than they think, but they just haven't yet had the time to really drill down and focus on it. And perhaps they set their own expectations too high too soon. They may be comparing themselves to people who are a lot longer down the track in doing this thing that they're interested in doing. So part of what this is about is having a proper perspective on your own talent early on and what needs to be developed. But the other thing I would say is this, that if you have to choose in terms of balance, there's no doubt in my mind that a passion for something, a strong passion for something combined with maybe a moderate talent will take you an awful lot further than a strong talent for something for which you don't have much enthusiasm. I found this repeatedly in my life, that if your passion is strong enough, it's amazing what you can get done and what you'll get achieved and how much your actual abilities will increase because they're being driven along by your own sense of passion and ambition.
One of the things I found interesting was the role that teachers and parents and guardians have, and basically being a role model, certainly, but also a tour guide to help people with their element. But ultimately, it is up to that person, isn't it?
It is, yes. I mean, I think it's very important to accept that we all have our own lives to live and we're responsible for them. It's too easy to blame circumstances. I mean, I'm not idealize this. I'm not taking some Pollyanna attitude, you know, this will all be a fairy tale. It's not. I mean, it's why there are so many stories in the book of people who aren't celebrities, they're not famous. I just describe the lives they're actually leading and the obstacles they've had to overcome, and they're often very considerable. But in the end, you have to take responsibility for your own life. It doesn't matter who's around you encouraging you or cheering you on. If you're not prepared to do it, it's not going to happen. And it's too easy sometimes to blame circumstances. I've known people in desperate circumstances who've achieved extraordinary things because they hadn't been willing to give in. You know, they've been indomitable in pursuing the thing they wanted to do. And there are lots of examples of that in the book. At the same time, it often is very important to have people around us who are encouraging us, who are giving us support and advice from different perspectives. I think that the role of mentors in our lives can often be tremendously important. The only caveat, there's a good bit in the book about that, the only caveat I'd have is that very often parents, if we're thinking about our own children, parents offer, or teachers or others, adults, may offer well-meaning advice about how to run your life. But they may also sometimes be wrong about it. It's worth recognizing that. I mean, for example, often I think young people are pushed to do certain sorts, if they go to college, they may be pushed to do certain sorts of courses because, you know, well-meaning friends or advisors will think it's a safe bet. Hmm. You know, they may come up with an idea they'd like to do, and you'd say, well, I don't see how you'll ever make a living from that. You know, I'd like to study music. Well, you won't earn any money from it. It's you really have to pause and ask yourself if you're a parent giving that kind of advice, if you're right or not, because life is not linear. It's not a straight line. Very often, people go on to do all kinds of extraordinary things that you couldn't have anticipated because they started off in a direction you didn't quite understand. And I think it's important to treat people individually, and it's why I'm saying that understanding what drives people, what their passions are, and not treating them as stereotypes, not mixing them up and applying advice that you wish you'd taken to somebody else who might be quite different from you, is one of the skills and arts of being a parent.
As we're just about out of time, but how do you figure a walk into this? I mean, there is a little bit of luck, isn't there?
There's a little bit of luck. Well, yes, but luck is an interesting thing, isn't it? luck suggests that it's all about serendipity and accidents. But, you know, there's been a lot of research about luck. There's a book called The Luck Factor, where psychologists have been looking at the attitudes and aptitudes of people who say they're lucky and comparing them to people who say they're not lucky. And what comes out of it very clearly is that people who say they're lucky have a different attitude. They're more willing to take risks. They're more willing to try things out. They're more willing to fail if necessary. They're often more outgoing. They're often more prepared to pursue an avenue that they're not sure where it will lead. People who say they're unlucky are often reluctant to take a chance like that. So there is a very real sense in which we make our own luck. And that's why there's such a lot in Finding Your Element about the importance of attitude and what your outlook is and what you think you're entitled to and what you're prepared to do. At the same time, Joe, I'm not saying, of course, that terrible things don't happen, that accidents don't happen. I mean, we're all today feeling very sympathetic and shocked at the events in Oklahoma this week with the
right.
tornado.
Of course.
The people in Moore didn't invite that tornado, and its effects have been absolutely devastating. Terrible things do happen in people's lives. But what will make the difference ultimately, once this initial shock has passed there and the people settle down as they will, because I know the people of Oklahoma very well, I go there very often, is that people will dig down and find deep reserves in themselves, and they will find a way to deal with some of these terrible losses, and they'll begin to rebuild. In the end, what matters most in your life is not what happens to you, it's what you make of what happens to you. And that's a matter of outlook and attitude, as well as of aptitude and passion. So it's that mixture of all of those that I think helps us to create a life.
Sir Ken Robinson is the author of the new book, Finding Your Element, How to Discover Your Talents and Passions and Transform Your Life. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it, sir.
It's my pleasure, Joe. Thank you.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Finding Your Element, How to Discover Your Talents and Passions and Transform Your Life. The book is published by Penguin. You can also find out more information at www.sirkenrobinson.com.